but last week was a discussion about what the role of doctors and monasteries, particularly we were focusing on Nida, we really touched on that monastery in terms of Kotar Kula. And we saw in the Gemara itself, there are really only two possible Makoros towards the Nemanus and Daphnis, and neither of them was convincing for our discussion. One of them was concerning Yom Kippur. So yes, we know that Daphnis has Nemanus vis-a-vis Yom Kippur, but that may only be the Torah Pekuach Nefesh. Since we're not sure that Daphnis knows what he's talking about, we're not sure he's telling us the truth, but nevertheless, in Hilchot Pekuach Nefesh, we have to be Cheshech, that maybe he's telling us the truth. It's not going to help us because neither. Here we want certainty that the doctor is going to tell us something. We're going to be lenient based on what he's saying. We had the other Gemara, was this story in the Gemara Maseches Tit about how there was a certain woman who had a Shaila, and they brought it to the Chachamim, and they brought it to the doctors, and the doctor said something, and then it's not clear, then they brought it back to the Chachamim. The Chachamim did some kind of a test to see whether the doctors were accurate or not. So the question is, what conclusion can we draw from that? So some wanted to draw the conclusion that what you see from here, maybe we're not trusting the doctors, and the fact that we didn't just take their word just like that, we went in and we tested it again. And Tel Zerah said, no, the reason why we tested it again, the doctor themselves weren't sure what they were saying. So you can't really tell. If the doctor really tells you with 100% certainty, it is some tell you this is a Macha, maybe they are Nehman. So for the Gemara itself, it wasn't clear. In the Rishonim, so we also saw a little bit of a question, just how much Nehman is the doctor has. At the very end of this year, or last week, so we saw that there was some Rishonim who drew a distinction between Jewish doctors and non-Jewish doctors, really, from Jewish doctors, non-Jewish doctors. Based on the following, and some Rishonim apparently understood that it's not that we think the doctor doesn't know what they're talking about. We think the doctor tells us that they know this type of a case and they can identify this problem in Macha. So we trust them in the sense of that they're confident enough to make the call. The question is, are they Nehman? Do they have halachic Nehmanus or not to make that, to us to believe that call? So that's what some Rishonim would throw forward an opinion who distinguish between a from Jewish doctor in contrast to a non-Jewish or non-from doctor. So if we go along those lines of reasoning that we're going to accept the knowledge of the doctor, we're going to question the truthfulness of the doctor, so the question is, does that play out? How does that play out with Zmanazeh? Maybe one could argue that Zmanazeh things have changed because the Nemanus that a non-Jewish doctor we have today may be based on a different principle. It's a principle we just started at the end of this year. Let's look at Kumul Amari Lomai Nafshin. The Bible said Schule taught us that when we're trying to figure out whether food is kosher or not, a little bit of chaz that fell into a pot of soup, and we're trying to figure out about the taste of the chaz and not the taste of the chaz, or a little bit of milk fell into the meat, we're trying to figure out, can we discern the taste of the milk or not? The Gemara says, have a goy taste it. Shalom asked the question, have a goy taste it. How is the goy giving me Neman to report on his findings? So Tosfos writes that he's believed based on the fact that he's an Uman. Since the Gemara says that you don't just bring any goy, you bring a professional, you bring a chef. So we have a principle called Uman Lamar Uman. An Uman, a craftsman, a professional, is not going to want to ruin his reputation. And that's considered to be a Nemanus on the role of Deraisa. What kind of Nemanus is that? So that sounds like it's a rogue. I mean, it's a very high percentage. The person's not going to risk his whole reputation as a chef to tell you some silly piece of misinformation. So too, we're assuming that that anytime you have a situation of a professional, that's a boosted vote of confidence. That means that we assume that if they know what they're talking about, they're not going to mislead us intentionally. So that's what some posts can quote this time, just when it comes to doctors. That if you have this man as a doctor, the doctor tells you something, they think the doctor's lying to you? It's unlikely. You think the doctor may or may not be right? It's possible doctors are like human beings, they also make mistakes. But here we're not assuming they're making a mistake. That's what the Rishonim said. If it would be a Jewish doctor, we'd be comfortable with their report. Because this is not such a tremendous job to do, just to look inside and see if there's a macha there. You don't need such a great expertise of skill for that. So any doctor could probably make that assessment. Now they turn around and say, oh no, the doctor's lying. Why should the doctor be lying? If the doctor's lying, so that's not good for his professional reputation. So therefore we can plug in the principle called Uman Lamar Umnaseh. That's what some folks can say, that we can be a little bit more lenient on the doctors, Bismarazeh, because we have that professional reputation at stake. Then there's a whole other factor that goes into adding credibility to doctors today. And that's something that's raised by Rabbi Yosef has it, Rabbi Posner has it, Scholar Posner today, have the following episode. It appears in the 14th of the Maamar Kamos. It's a rather small on the letter, so we'll try to see if we can pick that up. four lines from the bottom of Taras Abayis, 14th of the Maram Kovas, Rabbi Levadia speaking. So the fourth line from the bottom, Ubizman Azeh, Shaharofim Kovim Zos, Ayde Tzilumim, Ubdikos Primios, Ayde Maros and Yucharos Tashem Kach, Have you milsed the avidu the gluye? The money marrow from lowish is rap, shall lach, shall suka, roa machos tashmish. Says with Vladi Yosef, but if you have a woman who's a roa da machos tashmish, you get a very, very unlikely scenario we spoke about last week. But three times in a row, she had tashmish and she had bleeding and there's no macha there and it's a disaster. So the halacha is she has to go to the doctor, and the summer showed him that the doctor will tell us that she's been healed already, so then we'll believe the doctor. Some of the Rishonim said, that's a Jewish doctor, not a non-Jewish doctor, not a non-firm doctor. He has no nemonos. So Rav Avadya turns around and says, when do we say that a non-Jewish doctor doesn't have nemonos? That's in the olden days. Because what did it mean to go to the doctor in that era in the olden days? The doctor couldn't see anything. The doctor would listen to the woman. He'd do his guesswork, and he'd say, oh, well, it appears to me, you know, and patch around a little bit. Oh, it appears you probably were healed. Maybe. How is he going to make a statement that she's healed? Or for that matter, how is he going to say it's a machpa? He's going to take a look inside. He's going to do an exam. He's going to say, I'm telling you, I'm looking at the machpa. I'm seeing that it's near. I'm seeing that your situation is healed. So if Bizman Azeh, when the doctor makes a statement based on Re'iyah, not just based on Hashara, not just based on, a theoretical, philosophical discussion of the topic, it's based on actual visualization. So that gives a significant more credibility to the doctors than once. Why is that? Because that is what we call a milsa David Ligluya. Milsa David Ligluya means if I say something and I can easily be disproven. Someone's going to take a look 5 minutes later and see that I was lying. So whenever you have something that's a milsa David Ligluya, we have a principle, milsa David Ligluya of a shakri ba inshi. People are not going to lie when they can easily be physically disproved. In the old days, you went to the doctor gave you a philosophical discussion, I think the woman has a macha. So she'll go to another doctor, and the other doctor's going to say, I think the woman doesn't have a macha. It doesn't show that the first doctor was a chakra, it doesn't show that he was lying, it shows that his philosophical approach was different from the other doctors. No one's a liar over here. She's going to go to Dr. A, and the doctor's going to say, I'm telling you, I'm looking at it, I'm seeing absolutely clear, visibly, I'm seeing this a macha. She'll go to another doctor an hour later, the doctor will say, the first doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. So he said, it's nothing, there's not much nothing there. So people are not going to lie under those circumstances. So yet, even as much as that, you can have chiluke deyas amongst doctors. I imagine happens fairly often. You have two doctors who are assessing the situation differently, that's true, but it's almost harder to believe if one is staring at an open wound and saying, I'm telling you I see this is bleeding, and the other one's using the same instrument, looking at the same wound, saying, no, I'm telling you, there's nothing there. That's much harder. I mean, anything could happen, but it's much better, am I correct? That's much less likely to happen. That's what Rav Avadya Yosef and Rav Ozna have the same yisod. If the Zman Hazeh were dealing with the milsa, then we could say a little b'shakar v'inshin. This demonus is now going to apply even for a non-Jew. So it's a combination of these two factors that the Zman Hazeh, the general consensus of the poskim is that non-Jewish doctors are nemonim b'Zman Hazeh. If a reputable doctor tells that she has a mafa, so then they are believed. The combination of umul amari nafshe, we said before, combined with a milsa vidlagluye, we can assume that the doctors will be believed as manazet. They tell of a story from the Rav that he said that during the Cuban Missile Crisis, so apparently what happened before, a little bit before my time, but he said apparently the Russian ambassador to the UN or something gets up and he says there are no missiles in Cuba. Tell her, and the Americans brought out the video here, and the guy screaming there are no missiles, and they show the pictures. So when they told the story to the Rav, he said he thinks Bisman is there, Milsa David Ligluya doesn't work anymore. He says, you see that people lie even in front of the evidence in front of them, they're still shekering. I don't know if he meant that halach, they just meant that, metaphorically. Anyway, the only thing that one has to be careful about in terms of the mothers and doctors, even though we're going to be making those matters that trust the Jewish, the non-Jewish, the non-Jewish, maybe all the doctors that believe is matters that, that's assuming that the doctor has actually examined the woman and is telling us his assessment based on a visual examination. What sometimes happens is that a woman will call the doctor, and the woman will describe the symptoms, and the doctor will say, oh yeah, don't worry, it's you have a macha, you have a cervix, it's bleeding from somewhere else. That's a big problem. The doctor can't make that assessment, so the doctor has to actually examine the woman in order to make that call. Okay, so again, so up until now we've been focusing a lot on the macha, and the basic rule of the macha was accepted by everybody. what is a macha? How do you know you have a macha? Would you trust to say a macha? Those are all the backgrounds of the last several shiurim. And now we move to the next sugya, which is the exception to everything we've been talking about. So up until now we've been assuming that macha is gevaldik, it's put in that Torah, it's put in the Torah, everything's okay. But all of a sudden we bump into a sugya at the end of Maseches Nida, where the Gemara seems to make an about face. But the Gemara talks about a very specific type of macha that seems to break all the rules of what we're talking about. And the question is, what are the parameters of that broken rule, and how is that going to impact everything we spoke about up until now? So the next in the sugya is on page 17. Begins with the sugya of Dam Besulim. So Dam Besulim, when a woman gets married, so the first time that she has a idea, whatever the first success will be, or whatever the words mean, so then very often she's going to be bleeding, as for whatever reason the Besulim was broken before. So she's going, most probably going to be bleeding. What is the status of that blood? So at first glance, that blood is totally irrelevant. That blood is not Tamidos. We know exactly where that blood's coming from. It's coming from the hymen, from the membrane. It's nothing to do at all with anything from the inside the uterus. So that blood should be a classic Dam Macha. So the answer to that question is yes, it should be, but yet we find that it's not quite. So Min HaTorah, it clearly should be. Even Midr Rabbanan clearly should be. It should be classic Dam Macha. We should ignore it entirely in Halacha. And yet we have a whole complicated sugya in the end of Maseches Nida where the Mishnah, the Gemara, is not so fast to just ignore his Dam Besulim. So the sugya starts on page 17. Sometimes when we have different sizes of the print. Some of the print is not even worth it for me to put on the glasses. Some of them, the glasses work, and some of the glasses make things worse. So I think I need now three different pairs of glasses for the shiur. So on the 17th page of Rabbi Kamos, on the bottom, and CD number 12, Dam Besulim. So it starts with the Mishnah in the end of Maseches Nida. Tinaikash Lagiyas Mana Liros Vinisei. So the Mishnah starts out by describing all the different ages and stages in a little girl's life, potentially when she's getting married. So she could be getting married very, very young. She's under the age of 12. Tinaikash Lagiyas Mana Liros. She hasn't had any periods yet, and she's getting married. So why does that matter? Where she is along the way in terms of when she's getting married, it's going to impact in the following way. When she has Bia Rishona with her husband, so assuming she's going to bleed, she's going to have Dam Besulim, the odds that she's also having Dam Nidos are extremely unlikely. She's a little girl. She's under the age of Bas Mitzvah. She's never had a period before. So the odds that punk at that moment in time when she's having Dam Besulim, that she's also having Dam Nidos, is almost not shaykh. So comes the Mishnah and says, Tinokish Legiyas Man Aleros, and he says, Beshami Ovim Nosla Arba Leilos. So Beshami says, we let the couple be together the first night, even though she's bleeding. We say, forget about it, it's nothing, it's Dam Besulim. The second night, Dad, don't forget, it's Dam Besulim. That's her. This happens four nights in a row, four times in a row, they have Tachish, every time she has more Dam. So Beshami starts to get a little bit nervous. They say, you know, that's a lot of time. It's very unlikely, even this man says, unlikely, you have four times Dam Besulim. It's very common to have one time, to have two times, three times, so many times Dam Besulim, it's not so likely. So Bishami says, if the four times it happened already, and she has it now the fifth time, then we have to start to get nervous. You know, there's something else going on here that's suspicious. Maybe it's only Dam Nidos also. So maybe we really do have a problem. But it's clear from even Bishami, who's the biggest machmer in the sugya, is that even though at some point we start to get suspicious, until we reach the point of suspicion, we're okay, we're fine with it. As long as we're confident that it's Dam Besulim, we just call it Dam Besulim and don't worry about it. But Beisilu says you can even go fifth time, sixth time, it doesn't matter. As long as the wound hasn't healed yet. What does that mean? And let's say she has Tafrish a few times and she's bleeding, and then the bleeding stops. And then she's fine. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, it starts bleeding again. So then you can't call that Dam Besulim anymore. If it would have been Dam Besulim, it would have continued each time. So Beisilu says you reach a point also where we're concerned that it's no longer Dam Besulim. But Beis Hillel's threshold of tolerating how long we're going to consider it to be Dam Besulim is much more lenient than Beis Shammai's. So then the Mishnah continues and says, but things begin to change. What if it's a Gias Man Aliros, when he says? What if it's a girl who has already reached the point of having a period? I mean, she's reached the point where we're expecting that she would already have a period. It's not so uncommon. So then Beis Shammai Om Nosla Lail HaRishon. So then Beis Shammai says, the first night, we'll say, okay, you know, we'll close our eyes to the Dam and say, it's probably Dam Besulim. But if she has already the second night also bleeding, now we're a little bit more suspicious. First of all, it's already the second night. And number two, she's a girl who is potentially susceptible to getting a period. So that we have to be more wary about that. So they might put the threshold a little bit earlier. So Beisilo says, no, we'll give her 4 nights until Motzei Shabbos. Maybe Motzei Shabbos, because Pesul Nisa is still Marvi in the olden days. Girls would get married on Tuesday nights, and then Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday, whatever. Yeah, what was that? They get married Wednesday, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Motzei Shabbos, 4 nights in Shabbos. Rasa the other Beisavir, what if she's a girl who has already, she's already seen? I mean, she's still Beisavir, she's still a Na'ara, she's over 12, but not only is she potentially getting a period, she's already experienced a period. So that's even more of a concern. So Bishami Omer Nosla Bilas Mitzvah. Bishami says the first beer we let her go. But after that, if she bleeds after that, then we have to get weary. But Bishil Omer Kol Alayla Kula. Bishil says we'll give her multiple beers their first night. So the bottom line is, both Bishami and Bishil agree fundamentally that Dan Basulim is okay. They both agree fundamentally that there reaches a point in every girl's life where we're going to start to get nervous if it's too much. So then that leads us to believe there's something else going on that we don't know about. The whole machlokes b'Shaul b'Sil is, where do you draw that line? So you have a lot of different cases. You have the case of the little girl who's 8 years old. You have the girl who's 12 years old who hasn't had a period yet. You have the 12-year-old who had a period already. So as you get more and more susceptible to having a period, we become more and more concerned, and the threshold of tolerance keeps on getting chopped away at. And b'Shaul b'Sil, each one according to their opinion. So comes the Gemara in the second of the Marma Kamos, and says that there's one case that's missing in the Mishnah. Amar Rav, in Nidah Samach Daled Beis, Amar Rav, Begeres, Nosen Lo Laila Harishayin. What if she's a Begeres? What if she's over the age of 12 and a half already? So then, she gets only the first night, Ahani Milish La Rasa. That's if she hasn't yet had a period before. But Rasa, if she's over 12 and a half, and she's already had periods before, which basically translates to mean all women in Bizman Hazel get married, they're over 12 and a half, they've already had periods. Ain Lala Bilas Mitzvah Vesulai. So the only thing that we can close our eyes to is the first beer. It means Bizman Hazel, which was basically saying normal marriage, Bizman Hazel, if the 12 and a half years old, for the regular woman already has a history of having periods. So the first beer we're going to close our eyes to, because, I mean, we know that's Dan Machlis, because that's Dan Vesulim. So that we're going to say forget about. And she could have beer Rishon with her husband, she'd be bleeding, big deal. She's still Muteres, so she can continue afterwards. But if she has Dam the second time around, so then we have to start to be weary. So all the chilukim that Bishami and Bishil had about the 8 years old, the 12-year-old, it's not really relevant for us, because all our women are over 12 and a half, they've already all had periods, and therefore the first beer we let you get away with, that's the real din of Dam Basulim. After that, any subsequent beer, if there's bleeding, we have to turn around and say, well, it's not so simple. Maybe that's real blood, that's the end. Maybe we're missing it, maybe it's not Dam Basulim. So far the Gemara sounds like it took the whole first mission and said, not relevant for us, Bizman Hazel. So now the Gemara is going to go and say, guess what? Not only is that not relevant, Rav's statement is also not relevant. In the third of the Gemara Kamos, the Gemara quotes in Nidah Samach Chemed Beis, Hisanya, Rabbi Seinu Chazu Benimnu. There was a later takana that was made, that's recorded in the Braisa, not recorded in the Mishnah, that the later Chachavim had a re-evaluation, Chazu Benimnu means they took a new vote on. It means the Chachavim made a new Gezeira, a new Dinder Rabbanan, and they came up with the following conclusion, Bayel Be'ilas Mitzvah Upayresh. He said, not only are we not going to give you multiple nights, and we're not going to give you multiple beers, we're not going to give you even the first beer. Namely, you have to let the couple be together the first time. Without that, they're never going to another thing happen. So they let them be together the first night, the first time. After that beer, she's bleeding. So we all know that it's Dam Basulim. We turn around and say, sorry, we think that may be Dam Nidus, and therefore you're Asura. So nobody said that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the first time, of course you may even get multiple times. Even Rav said, the first time, for sure you get, and don't worry about it, you only become a problem if there's a second Adam. According to the Rabbi Seinu Chazav and Nimnu, even the first time, even though we know, everybody knows there's Adam Masulim, of course there's Adam Acha, it doesn't matter, Bayel Bilas Mitzvah Uperish. So do we paskin like this Raisa that this changed the whole world? So the verse says, here, Amar Ula, the word continues, Ki havu bar Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shlokish Tinoikis, when Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish used to learn the parak Tinoikis, that's the name of the parak, the last parak in Nida, when they used to learn the parak of Tinoikis, when they learned the whole sugya of Dam Basulim, lo av maski mino elik the masik talami ve karba. It's a kind of a phrase, something about a fox walking through some food. It's a nice way, it's a poetic way of saying that they spent a lot of time and walked away with nothing, walked away with a little mashu. So Rabbi Yechon and Shlokish, they would learn the sugya of Perek Tinoikis, and then at the end of the day, they only had one thing that was of any importance, and the only thing that was important was Misami Vahachi. They would spend a lot of time running around through the parrot, and then they would come to the conclusion, Ba'alavis mitzvah parish. That's the only thing that really matters. So that's the Pesach Halacha. So Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Shlokit, Paskin, like the Breiser, Rabbi Tzidachos of Nimru, and that's all the Rishon and Paskin, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that is the final din. So when all the dust settles, a couple has Bia Rishona, and she's starting to bleed, like exactly what we thought, what we expect is going to happen, we declare she's a Nida. That's the din. Midrabbanan, we declare she's a Nida. In effect, what the Gemara's conclusion is that the whole principle of Dan Basula that was accepted in the days of Bishami and Bishelo and Mishnai, etc. All those clues of Dan Basula that the Tanoim were just trying to figure out when the Kula ends. The later Tanoim said, you don't have to bother figuring out when the Kula ends because it never starts. Because Volbulos Mitzvah Parish, that's the end of the Sugya.
It sounds like Gezerah on the Gezerah,
though. Yeah, right. So that's what we're trying to figure out. So where in the world did this come from? Right. Why is this true? Okay, we see the Gemara said it. It's hard to argue with the conclusion of the Gemara. Why is this true? What happened to the last month of Shiur? Damacha. Everybody knows this is a Macha. So what's going on? So this is a major machlekes to Rishonim. What happened? What's the answer to that question? Manishtana, this sugya from the classic sugyas of Damacha. Why can't we rely on Damacha anymore? So there's a Ramban. For some reason I didn't put it in the Mamre Kermes. There's a Ramban. It says that the answer to that question is that your question was flawed. Your question was, well, why can't you rely on Damacha? So says the Ramban, that was the Takanas HaChamim, to never rely on Damacha anymore. When the Gemara says, Bo B'Los Mitzvah Parish, when the later HaChamim came up with this Gezerah, what they basically said is that Damacha is a nice sugya, in theory, but guess what? Too risky, too dangerous. Why is it too risky? Says the Ramban. It took us a month to figure out what is a Macha, what's not a Macha. We got Sveikis and Sveikis and this and that and Chazokis and Maislach. Nemanas and the doctors and that. It took so many sugya to get. At the end of the day, we're never even sure that we really have an authentic Macha. Says the Ramban, Chazal decided that Macha is too risky to rely on, and therefore they did away with all of that Macha. So why did Chazal pick just this case to tell us? I don't know why. They could have told us any other Damacha. They could have said, V'hilchas anim v'gomu ein l'smocha Damacha b'zman. Is that? Says the Ramban. That's in effect what they did. By telling us that Rabbi the Chaz v'nim v'gomu with mitzvah perish, that's tantamount to saying the whole clue of Damacha is not. So that would be a very depressing thought for two reasons. First of all, it would mean that the last month of Shura, I hope everyone enjoyed, but there was nothing relevant from it. Halacha Maisa. Really, I loved this, but nothing relevant to Maisa. Going to Ramban number two, that would be a disaster. It means very often a woman comes to the Shaila and we are 99% sure that it's a Damacha. The doctor's looking inside, telling it's a Damacha. Sorry, can't rely on Damacha anymore with the Ramban, too risky.
Also, wouldn't we even think that in this case you know that there was a Makkah there, as opposed to usually in the case of Damacha, you don't have any.
Right, so you make.
So
you make.
What caused the Makkah?
So you make it matters worse for us.
Right,
you're saying,
that's
even.
Hard to understand the Ramban, given that you know that there was a Makkah here.
So the Ramban is saying, forget, you're making matters even more cumbersome. Even in this case, where we know for a fact there's a Makkah here, and Chazal says, you can't rely on Makkah, it's a low plug. If we start to rely on Dabasulim, we're going to rely on Makkahs, we're going to rely on Shalok Kadin, we're going to trust untrusty doctors, we're going to make fakers. It's just too complicated. Therefore, it's easier for us or everything. That's what the Ramban says. So we don't pass like this Ramban. We read the Sar of Relief. The Shacharach, this Ramban is not close. The other Rishon did not accept this Ramban. We assume that even though, yes, Damacha is still a valid kula, even in Tavshin Ayin Zayin, somehow Dam Basulim is not, which just pushes the question back again, so back to the drawing board. So Manishtana Dam Basulim from other Damachas. So if you go down the Ramban, it's very easy. The chumras of it, it's always very easy to be Macha. That's what Mishnah writes, when the Gemara says, Kach Datir Adif. Why, in order to be machmer, you don't have to be certain that something is right, you just have to say, I don't know, so be machmer. In order to be makel, you have to really know the sugya well. So to come to the conclusion of the Ramban is very, very simple. But other Rishonim say that we don't accept this Ramban. So what is the answer? So if we take a look at the fourth of the Ramakamos, the Chuvas HaRashba, so the Rashba addresses this lacuna. The Rashba tries to discern what is the precise distinction between the Makkah that we are making on the Zman Hazeh and the Besulim that we're not. So the Rashba writes, V'afal pi, the bottom line of page 17, V'afal pi shabo'os ha'besula, V'afilu k'tana, chashu l'hachem v'dameha, that we're, even if it's a little girl, we know it's Dan Basulim. There's no way she's getting a period. It doesn't matter. V'yasik n'hasa v'kulu bo'os mitzvah parish, V'afal pi she'ein l'cha maka g'dayim v'dus, with the Ramban. You can't get a better maka than this. It's documented. Every girl has it. We know what's going on. So says the Rashba, the reason why we have an infidel basulim is, believe it or not, we're not as certain as we think we're certain. Why? Gemara has a famous sugya, we're going to say Ksubas, where Shmuel says that if a person knows what they're doing, they can actually have Bir Rishona without any doubt. Even if the Sulam have not yet been broken, if he positions himself in such and such a way, so an angle, the Gemara goes Batoya, so then he can be boiled, Kama Basulas below Dam. So comes, the Rashbam says, he quotes that Gemara, and he says, that Gemara is now going to cause us problems. The original statement that Gemara actually caused us solutions. That was part of the reason why we're allowed to be bold, be a mitzvah on Shabbos. The Gemara is also in the beginning of Ksubas, whether having beer is shown, is that called the psikresh, is that the psikresh, the skavit, the psikresh, the nifle, the whole complicated sugya in the first davav, the zayin of Masechus Ksubas. So one of the factors in that sugya is the Shmuel's assessment that who says it's a psikresh, it's possible to do without dam. That's already a complicated Hilchos Shabbos issue. It's possible, but let's say, I don't know how to do it that way. So is that also called the Dovashem Miskavit? Is that of Segration? There's a lot of love this and that, but not for now. But here, the Rashba tells us, Shmuel's assessment is going to cause us trouble. But Shmuel says, it's not so certain that there's blood there. Oh, yeah, if that's not certain there's blood there, then maybe this is not as great a macha as we thought it was. So now comes the Rashba and says, you know, we can be Taylor in a macha, but you have to know there's a macha there. So if it would be physically impossible to be bold, be a mitzvah without dam, so then ein lecha macha gedolah mizuh. Once Shmuel told us that's physically possible, then that takes away from the certainty of the mapa. So therefore you lose out the tliyas. That's what the Rashba says. That mishum the ikal mechash the Shmuel, the yomich lehen the vokam bulus lona, about kan the ikal macha mamish talinon. Whereas when you have a real mapa, so then a real mapa, that's even better than dam basulim. So that turns the sugya on its head. Our starting point was that Tam Basulim was the greatest Makkah possible, and we couldn't understand, so why aren't we making on it? So the Rashi says, no, you got it wrong. Tam Basulim is not quite up to par of the other Makkahs. So the Rashi himself, you see, is very, very weary about this Teretz, because, I mean, Shmuel's statement is true, but it may be true but irrelevant. But the Maisa, most people aren't, and this particular Chosson says, I didn't try to be bold without Dam. I was doing regular beer. So to say that everyone has to worry that maybe that one in a billion guys was gold without dam, it sounds like a little bit of a difficult sell. That's what probably the Rashi himself wasn't so convinced to the truth of this teretz. So the end, he gives you another suggestion. The od, the bebesula yesh lahachmir, b'she'ena ela sha'achas afam achas, aval kanim tochosh apata osho abayla. Says the Rashba, there's a big difference, not in terms of certainty of dam. Certainty of dam, dam sulam is probably more certain macha than other machas. But dam basulim has something going against it. What is that? It's a one-time thing, once or twice. In 6 months from now, we're not going to have dam basulim. We're not going to have dam basulim shahs for 20 years. So dam basulim shahs are eventually going to cure, going to heal themselves. When a woman has a macha, if you're going to turn around and asa with a macha, so you could potentially be asking her for years and years and years. Dam basulim, so short, what's the big deal? So therefore, why is that relevant? So the chayr with the Rashi seems to be telling us is as follows. Even though min haTorah it's true that dam macha is mutam, we all know dam macha is mutam min haTorah. If I was sitting on a base in a Golden Shalayim, I probably would have voted, let's ask it with the Rabbanan. You know, it's such a risky din d'oraisa. We have so many other chumras, the Rabbanan, don't move the pencil because there you may come to write. But make sure you cover your crackpot in case you may come to stir the car. There's so many gzeres, the Rabbanan. If you're going to tell people, machas are great, no, all machas are fine. One could see a big mistake creeping in. A woman's going to be bleeding. She's, oh, it's a dam macha. She doesn't bother checking out that it's a macha. The doctor made a mistake. You could vet the ability to err in the area of dam machas is very, very real. So why didn't Chazal make this gzeirah d'rabban? Why didn't they just ask a dam macha? It's a simple no plug, atu dam nida. They made so many other gzeirahs d'rabbanan. If I was voting for gzeirah d'rabban, I would say this is a better gzeirah than asking chicken milk. I would say you have to wait 6 hours, you have to have your piece of chicken, because a gzeirah, you may come to eat basa that's mavushal b'cholof together, that's already a bigger stretch than this. I would say, let's ask all the makas and finish. It's easier. So obviously why Chazal didn't want to do that is because every time you have a gzeirah d'rabban, you have to measure two things. You have to measure, does it make sense to make the gzeirah in terms of, is there a real concern? Against number two, how difficult is this going to make it for people? In gozum gzeirah l'tziva, if it's ein tziva yichol ma'avim, if you make a gzeirah that's so difficult, make a gzeirah that's going to be so hard, so we have to be very, very weary about making this gzeirah. So it helps need also, on the one hand, we want to make certain gzeirahs. On the other hand, you have to always be concerned. You don't want to make life impossible. You don't want to be mevatel purva ribya, you know, onam. There are a lot of mechsholim that can happen if you start making gzeirahs right now. But Chazal have to sit That's what they do in Lishka Kedoshos all day. They sit around and try to figure out, should we make this Gzeir Drabon, should we not? They have to take a lot of factors into consideration, should we make this Gzeir? So when Chazal was deliberating at some point in history, sometime between Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of the Mishnah, at some point in history, they're trying to figure out, should we asa da makana? So they came up with the following dilemma. On the one hand, it's a real concern, da makana. Really, we should asa it. On the other hand, we don't want to make life impossible. If you get asa da makana, that can make life mamish miserable. Because you can have a woman who could take her years to heal. This man is there. It's less likely than that. In the olden days, there are no ways of healing anything. So yet a woman could have makas for years and years. So if we can asa da makam and you're basically knocking a woman out of a marriage. You're telling her she can't be with her husband for the next 20 years. So Chazal said like this. If we have that concern in the back of our mind that la'asra ba'al, we don't want to do that, make life so impossible, so then we're not going to ask it. On the other hand, da basulim is an easy one. Da basulim is there's nothing to it. You ask her for 2 weeks, and shines, you know, it's all going to be over. She's never going to have to think about it anymore. So therefore, Chazal formulated an isa d'rabbanan on damakah, but only certain kinds of damakahs, the damakahs that are easily healable. That was the final takana. So it comes out, according to the second answer in the Rashi, but it's not that we're really more concerned by damakahs, we're less concerned. We're more comfortable saying that it's a makah, but what makes us more concerned, the halacha about damakahs, is dafka because it's such a temporary problem. So you have two approaches in the Rashi, but what was it about damakahs that makes it more problematic? According to the Ramban, it's nothing. According to the Ramban, it's the same as regular makas. If you ask about Sulam, you ask about makas. According to the Rashi, no. We have no source in the Gemara to ask about makas, but the Rabbanan. But we do have a Gemara to ask about Sulam. So the answer must be one of two possibilities. Either Sulam is less likely that it's a makas because of Shmuel's consideration, or even though it's more likely that it's a makas, but the stakes are much lower because it's only going to be a temporary issue. The issue that emanates from the second teretz of the Rashi is, the Rashi just told us, is that basically Chazal did aser very temporary makas. They didn't aser permanent makas, or very long-standing makas, but very, very short-living makas. They did aser. That could potentially be very serious for his man of death. A woman comes with a shayla, and we send it to the doctor. The doctor says, you have a makas. So he asks the doctor, how long is it going to take for this to heal? So if the doctor says, oh, it's going to take 20 years for this to heal, great, good news, then she's muteris. But if the doctor says, by next month it'll be gone, so you know we have to paskin? She's asura. Because according to the Rashi, the second teretz, we have to ask her all makas. The starting point is with the Rabbanan, ask her all makas. All right, we'll give you a freebie because it's a long-standing makas. But if it's a short-standing makas, then it becomes included. Then it becomes the equivalent of dam basulim. The halacha, we don't follow that. Shulchan Aruch does not quote that distinction. The Toskim Tei do not make that distinction. We assume if it's a makas, it's a documented, seen, visualized makas, it's mutter. Whether it's going to heal in 20 years or in 2 weeks, it's a makas. So far we're 0-3, we just struck out because we're trying to figure out what is it about Dam Basulim that's different than Dam Makas. The Ramban said they're the same, we didn't accept that. The Rashba gave one answer, we didn't quite understand that. The Rashba gave a second answer, we don't follow that. So it's nice to reject all the Rishonim, but we still haven't found the answer.
Is the Rashba saying that because it's for a short period of time or because it's a one-time thing? Isn't that, I mean, his Lashon is Pamachas.
So right. Like that would be Shah'atas of Pamachas. So one can argue this is also Pamachas. I mean, Pamachas says, well, the doctor, listen, I see what she has, my next month she'll be fine. So Asur, Pamachas, like Dam Basulim. Dam Basulim means, the phrase Sha'at Pamachas means Asur for 2 weeks. That's what it translates to mean. So let's do the same thing by a short living Masa. So far we're not yet satisfied with any of the answers that we have in terms of playing out Lamai. So next week, we have to pick up from the Rosh. So the next Marvel, the Rosh is going to try to give the answer that becomes a little bit more in sync with how we pass the halacha. So Mitzvah next week, we're still on. The following week, I'll be away.
Okay.
We're going to travel, you don't know what I mean.